There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, hour number two of Midday Mobile, Tuesday style. Glad you're here. House just releasing transcripts of interviews with former U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine and UN EU Ambassador. We're going to get some of that information. It's just kind of coming out. So we'll trying to read through this stuff and get it processed, and we'll bring it to you. Also, we'll get into this Project Veritas thing with the Epstein didn't kill himself story in just a second. I do want to say tip of the hat. Thank you, Matt. When you use logic, my friend, I can't fight you. He pointed out, he said, how can we annex additional real estate into the city when we can't even address the audio issues at Government Plaza? Thank you, Matt. I you're right. I have no response other than you're right. And more people saying that, that the band name could be City Council and the Sound Snobs. Audio Snob, man. Audio Snob. Yeah, so my friend Supermom said that could be my cover band name. What do I do? Just Audio Slave songs, but I call myself Audio Snob? That's pretty cool. Texter said, I'm opposed with annexation for selfish reasons. I live a mile from the fire station. My property tax is cheap, and I have a septic tank, which is also cheaper than city sewage. Yeah. And then Dan says, I believe the concern or scare is the same as concern for a five-year-old. Okay, is the same as the concern a five-year-old has in potentially getting a new younger sibling. Man, I remember those days. My children are 5 years between them. Is the new sibling going to get all the love and attention now? Love and attention being infrastructure spending and similar funding. I mean, you get more revenue, but where's the new revenue going to get allocated? I'm not insinuating anything. I think it's just where some people's concerns are, people currently living within the city limits, city district. So there you go. Believe me, we'll have this conversation going on in, I'm sure, for the next week until next city council meeting and maybe beyond. Okay, so a couple things. Washington, the impeachment inquiry, these transcripts, we're going to try to get to that. First, though, this is a story that I saw something pop up a little bit earlier, and then Dalton came in and said, man, you seen this thing? You following this thing? The ABC News anchor, Amy Robach, or is it Robach? I think it's Robach, was caught on a hot mic claiming the higher-ups at her network killed a story that would have exposed the now-deceased sex offender Jeffrey Epstein 3 years ago. But the Disney-owned news organization says it wasn't up to their standards. This is coming from that report from Fox News, but it's Project Veritas that has brought us this hot mic moment. So what it looks like to me, Dalton, looking through this is, so they're either between segments, kind of like we're in here during a commercial break or whatever, maybe she's getting ready to start the show, and she's just, cameras are on, they're rolling, but she's just kind of riffing, you know, talking before they go back on. Is that kind of what you're getting from this?
Yeah, not clear who was on the other side of the desk, but Amy Robach, who is there with ABC, and looks like right now she's the co-anchor of 2020 and fills in on Good Morning America every now and then. But I'm guessing back then that she was a reporter working her way up to the top. And in this hot mic moment, which she has responded since this came out.
She's denying that's her?
No.
It's a deep fake. It's not her. That's not me.
She's saying it's a deep fake. No, she's saying that those comments were made in a, quote, private moment of frustration. I was upset that an important interview I had conducted with Virginia Roberts, who is woman who let a lot of people know about this. She said, I was upset that an important interview I'd conducted with Virginia Roberts didn't air because we could not obtain corroborating evidence to meet ABC's editorial standards about her allegations. But this hot mic moment appears to be either before, after, or during the breaks in the show, and she's talking about what she had 3 years prior on this Epstein story, and then after that, a video her commenting on the apparent suicide of Epstein on August 10th.
All right, let's go to the first. This is it's about a 7.5 minute thing, but we're going to take a smaller, shorter bite at this.
Yeah, there was a pretty long video that was released by Project Veritas, and
that's James O'Keefe, y'all. That
James
that
group, O'Keefe, yeah. The Planned Parenthood videos that he put. I mean, he's put a lot of stuff out there, but yeah, this is about, I think, a minute 20, minute 30 long clip where she's talking about what she had 3 years ago.
So, do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do.
That's the second clip.
Yeah,
let me get the first
that's
clip.
The second clip.
Yeah. I have so many clips coming in here, y'all.
Many clips. And did you hear that? That was some good audio. Some good hot mic audio.
Well, we should send that down to the Mobile City Council and see what they can. There it is. All right.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. And I had it all 3 years ago.
Now, I wonder if that, and yeah, if you're like me and you said, man, am I hearing a heartbeat in the background? I wonder if that's their audio stamp in the back, because that is audio from Project Veritas. That must be the way that... you can, because if you, the video you can put on, it says Project Veritas, Be Brave, Do Something. But if somebody wants to grab the audio and not attribute it, which is not how we roll around here, but other people have, you put that heartbeat in the background and it's kind of your brand.
Yeah, to keep it from being stolen and used by other people. And side note, following other reporters on Twitter, I guess CNN hasn't commented on this yet at all. And I'm sure we haven't seen anything from ABC News. So it'll be interesting to see how these big organizations cover this story, that it appears ABC News covered this up, or at least didn't go live with some accusations they had 3 years ago about Epstein.
This is, of course, a story that's breaking right now. We'll run to the break. We'll come back with the same reporter, Robach, then talks about Epstein.
Yes.
She was talking about him there, but talks about the Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yes.
Suicide.
And August 10th, that happened. So this hot mic moment happened after that.
Okay. We'll link these up as well on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. You can grab them right there. Coming right back, more of that audio on Midday Mobile.
Azalea City Hand and Rehab has been a trusted provider of occupational and physical therapy services and now offers the finest quality CBD products to aid in your quest for better health. Schedule a free consult to answer all your CBD questions at Azalea City Rehab today, 470-7772.
WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. All charges were dropped for a teenager who was handcuffed and reportedly attacked by a police canine at the Shops at Bel Air Mall this summer. 16-year-old Cameron Robinson was facing charges of disorderly conduct, possession of marijuana, and resisting arrest after he was arrested following the incident at the mall. Robinson's family says they are still moving forward with a $25 million civil lawsuit against the mall. That lawsuit has not yet been settled. Florida officials are rolling out a new online dashboard that allows the public to get a snapshot of water quality in the state's major lakes and waterways. Governor Ron DeSantis announced the new website, ProtectingFloridaTogether.gov, during a visit to an aquatic park today. It's Election Day in the state of Mississippi. Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood is facing off against Republican Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves in the state's most competitive governor's race in years. The president and the vice president both traveled to Mississippi to campaign for Reeves. Devin Walsh, WKRG News 5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5. By the way, this show, this very show right here on the road tomorrow, Midday Mobile live from the USS Alabama. The Fantail there will do this show from noon to 1. And then the Scuttlebutt Boys will take over starting from 1 and going till 2. And then I'm sure we'll have a big discussion when we're out there with what's happening on Monday, Veterans Day, at USS Alabama Memorial Park. You've got those activities, I think, starting at 7, going through the evening. In the middle of that, too, though, you have the Veterans Day Parade that goes through downtown Mobile. Most of it's on Parade Route A, and we'll be down there doing Mobile Mornings starting at 6 on that Monday, so this coming Monday. Be down there, do this show, and do the new normal news, weather, traffic, all that information you need, sports with Dalton, but also visiting us through the broadcast, Vietnam veterans, as Vietnam veterans are the focus of this Veterans Day this year. And so we're going to get to interview some folks. It's a special thing for all of us to be able to go see all those veterans as they line up and get ready for the parade. So hopefully you'll be part of that on Monday.
Yeah, Battleship Park, just an awesome place to go any day. And I hope y'all join us out there tomorrow. But on Veterans Day, I can't think of a cooler place to be on USS Alabama.
Yep. It's free admission. Yeah, it's free admission.
That is just awesome.
So that's going to, but we're not going to be, the morning show is going to be live from the Civic Center parking lot, because that's where they line up for the parade. And so that's what we've done over the years, because we get to visit with the veterans as they're all getting there and get ready for the parade. It's kind of the place to be. So if you get a chance to stop by and see us, that would be cool. If not, just tune us in, listen to the stories of those veterans, and your chance to hear the stories of veterans through the Fisher House. That's going on Saturday. It's going on Sunday, and also during this time slot on Monday, on Veterans Day. All right, let's get back to this clip. So two parts here. If you're just joining us, the setup here was, this is a hot mic moment, Project Veritas, so James O'Keefe and company, getting a hot mic. This is Amy Robach, right? She's with ABC. She's doing, looks to me as like what happens. There's this video around, I'm sure there's video of me doing this, when they're rolling cameras, but when you're not on, you're just talking to people in the other booth, you know, or just back and forth. Sounds like she's talking to somebody in the booth there with her.
Yeah, and clearly frustrated. And
about this Epstein, she's saying, hey, this Epstein story, they're saying all this breaking information, all this new stuff. She said, I had this stuff years ago.
And props to her for coming out after this was released and not trying to say that it was fake news or that someone edited it poorly. She said she had a private moment of frustration and then kind of backed up ABC's editors and said it didn't meet their editorial standards. But what a lot of people are asking now is, what exactly meets ABC's editorial standards? With some of the UC Smollett story, when it came out, they were pretty quick to jump on that. And just think
which,
about...
Which regular folks like me heard that story and said, oh, come on.
And the Kavanaugh hearings. They were in lockstep with a lot of other media companies that were putting out all these supposed facts about what Kavanaugh did or didn't do in college. But this what she felt was a pretty Loctite story against Jeffrey Epstein, they didn't put out there because of their editorial standards.
Well, and they wouldn't, and you heard her saying, we couldn't do it because of the Prince Andrew angle, and they wanted to get an interview. This is how behind this is all the stuff that I hear about all these plots in the mainstream media, and people have these ideas how it works. I go, no, it's not exactly like that. There's something to be worried about, but it's not. It's like this.
Yes.
There's reality. What you heard in that, if you want to know what's behind the curtain, what Amy Robach is talking about, is that is reality. It's the network says, hey, we really want to get this interview with Kate Middleton about the baby, and it's going to be a big thing, and we can make some money off it because people eat this royal stuff up. Mm. So we're not going to do the Epstein story. story because it implicates Prince Andrew in the mix, and we're getting pressure for, I think she said, from the Crown to not do it. That, what you heard there, go back and listen to that. That is real stuff. And that is real behind-the-scenes media. And that's how it is.
And I could imagine it would make someone who, and it sounds like Amy Robach, is an investigative journalist. Like, that's what she wants to be. And true investigative journalists, they might have their own opinions on certain things, but what they want to do is get down to they want to get some real information and some stuff like this that, who knows how many people's lives were affected by Epstein in those 3 years that she says she had this story, and when the story finally came out. So of course she would be frustrated, and luckily for us and everyone in America that actually wants the truth to come out, she was caught on a hot mic moment.
And then the other part of this, so the beginning of it was the discussion of her doing this story, having a story, ABC not letting her run this story about Epstein, and then it moves into the Epstein
suicide, which the person, and I'm forgetting the name of who is the checks out the deaths after they happen,
the coroner.
The coroner, thank you, the coroner,
Quincy there, MD.
The coroner there at the jail said that it was a suicide, and we saw last week that interview on Fox and Friends, Dr. Michael Baden, mm-hmm. who was hired by the family to take a look, and he said that Epstein's injuries did not line up with the...
Were not consistent.
They were not consistent with suicide, and she... Robach, that is, who was just talking about having this story 3 years before the Epstein story really came onto the national airwaves, she has her own opinion on what happened with him.
So do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do. Because he made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came into that apartment.
When I heard he was found dead, Mrs. Giselle Selim was like,
I knew immediately. And they made it seem as though he made that suicide attempt 2 weeks earlier, but his lawyers claimed that he was roughed up by his cellmate around the neck. That was all like to plant the seed, and then that's why I really believe it, like really believe it.
You know, as when that story first broke too, as all conspiracies go out there, and I am the last one to get on board any, much to the frustration and the chagrin of many, that I kind of feel myself on the outside of most of these conspiracy theories. When we were told within hours, you know, the Epstein suicide thing, you and I sat in here and I said, all right, well, I might be part of my first conspiracy theory. Because back then I said, no way. Yeah. No way. This is just too convenient. And for them to say, okay, that's done. It was suicide. All right, no, nothing to see here. You're going to have to prove a lot to me to tell me that this was not a homicide.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about his little black book of all the people he knew and people who had taken flights on his jet. And then for the story after he died to come out that, what, they had two guards there that happened to fall asleep and cameras weren't working and all this other crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's they got Schultz from Hogan's Heroes there so people can sneak by the guard. Come on.
I'm not one to jump on conspiracy theories either, and this is certainly no InfoWars radio right here, but this is pointing to if you don't think that I'm not saying that he was killed or killed himself, because I have no idea.
You don't want to go on the list?
I have no idea, and I don't want to go on the list, but I am saying that there's reason to believe, it seems, that a lot of very powerful people wanted him to die before he was able to get out and testify.
Yeah. Now, and how many of them are there? Will that be the problem? They'll say, I can't figure out which one it is because we've got 360 leads on this thing. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106, and we'll go to check in with Clint in Fairhope. Hey, Clint.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good, man. So what's up?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out y'all are spinning this. I just can't figure out which way y'all are trying to spin it.
Good. That means we're doing our job, so go ahead.
Okay, because there, and Dalton, you kind of threw out a few quotes from Robach, but there's one, and I'm looking on Fox News right now. It says, Robach says, quote, I was referencing her allegations, not what ABC had verified through our reporting. And so, if you have an interview with that person who's accusing Epstein of doing these things, and names like Prince Andrew and Clinton, and obviously at the time Trump had been seen on video with Epstein at Mar-a-Lago, and I mean, that's a big deal. So if a reporter says, here are some allegations, you wouldn't want them to go public with that right away, would you?
No. I think you would want...
Has ABC used that standard with other stories, that, I guess, is a fair question.
That's my issue with it.
That's where I thought y'all were going with that. But you need to include that quote of Robach saying, I was referencing her allegations, not what ABC News had verified.
That's a good point. And I hadn't seen that quote from her. This story I'm reading from the Daily Beast includes her other comments where she said it was a private moment of frustration.
Well,
but I didn't see that one that you're talking about.
I would say get off the Daily Beast, but I'm on Fox News. That's just as bad.
Yeah, for sure. But,
thanks, Clint. I appreciate that. That is a very good call and an important call, mm-hmm. because that is a you got to look at things fairly. At the same time, I think one of the comparisons that somebody have made is look at the stories they ran with,
mm-hmm.
that they thought lived up to. What was the shooting range or something? They told us they had video from, where was it?
Yeah, it was in Kentucky, and they were saying that it was explosions in Syria.
In Syria, yeah.
It was a video from Kentucky. And if you listen to her there, and I mean, she doesn't lay out exactly who her sources were other than Virginia Roberts, but it sure sounds like she felt that she had a pretty airtight story that was ready to air. It sounds like she feels burned by the company and I don't know if she's upset that she didn't get the scoop that everyone else got that was put out there, because, I mean, just saying that she had Virginia Roberts there, she also mentioned Epstein's lawyer, and it seems like she knew a whole lot about what was going on in Epstein's world, and that ABC News would have rather had interviews with the prince and new princess about their new baby,
mm-hmm.
than possibly put out any information that could implicate Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Trump, as he said. I mean, there were so many powerful people mentioned alongside the name of Jeffrey Epstein that, of course, huge organizations like ABC and NBC, all these others, would have reason to cover something like this up.
That one side, side note there that you mentioned, I will go back, and that's something you can take from it. If you wonder, people always say, wow, the big media is bought off. Supposedly everybody's getting bought. That's how they're bought off. It's not, they're not getting bags of money. They're getting interviews or not getting interviews that lead to bags of money. That's how that thing works. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line open for you at 343-0106. Talk about some Thanksgiving activities coming up here shortly. And think about this, too. I have been talking about the history of shaving because I've been educated by my friends at Harry's. So I've been shaving with Harry's for 6 years now, 6 years plus, and they finally gave me some shaving history. Humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years, from flint tools to shark's teeth to the first copper razor. We always knew that a great shave came down to one thing, simple thing, sharp, durable blades. And that's what they provide you here in 2019. 5,000 years later, and a special offer for y'all. You heard me talking over the years about Harry's, how I love the convenience of having those blades show up at the house. The fiscal conservative in me sure loves that they're $2 a blade versus $4 or more you're paying at the grocery store or at the pharmacy. But how about the shave? It's a great shave, and that's what it's all about. And right now you can see what it's all about, because the best deal ever. Now, this is not for me and not for others that are current customers, but if you are a new customer, 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. After that, like I said, your blades are $2. They're half what you're paying right now for replacement blades. But for the new folks, new kids, come on in. 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover, $3 plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Harry's has an amazing offer for y'all, but you got to strike now on this. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, which is very nice, smells nice, dudes, and a travel cover, all for just $3. Free shipping when you use the code MOBILE at checkout. So when you're over at harrys.com, you get to checkout, use use code MOBILE, save that money, and claim your offer. Help support Midday Mobile. So big thank you to the people at Harry's for the history of shaving. And now I know that. I'll probably win at least one of the pie pieces at Trivial Pursuit one day, because I know that. It'll be a science and nature question or something like that. All right, 140. Coming up, we're talking Thanksgiving. Also, and we're talking about running at Thanksgiving with my friend Roz. But first, I want to quickly run through this, because there's so much that has been breaking here over the last hour or two. Now, we talked about the Epstein story and the ABC connection. Also, and we'll visit this in depth tomorrow on the show when Jeff Poor joins us at 8 o'clock during Mobile Mornings. But from the Wall Street Journal, it says House impeachment investigators were set to release transcripts of the testimony of two of the self-described three amigos involved in the informal diplomatic channel that pressured Kiev to launch investigations sought by President Trump. It goes on to say the U.S. ambassador, so the two of them here, U.S. ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, we've talked about him, and former special envoy Kurt Volker testified in October about efforts to persuade Ukraine to pursue an investigation into Joe Biden, Mr. Trump's potential 2020 rival, and into an unfounded allegation that Ukraine and not Russia was behind the 2016 interference in the U.S. presidential elections. While the broad outlines of their closed-door testimony have been reported, based on opening statements, lawmakers who heard the depositions and people familiar with the testimony, the transcripts will provide more details. The releases come as the House Democrats shift from to the public phase of the inquiry, which is expected to include public hearings. House committees today sent a letter to acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney requesting he testify on Friday. In their letter, committee chairman said that Mr. Mulvaney may have been directly involved, that's in quotes, end quote, in alleged efforts by the president and his personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani to withhold nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine in order to pressure that country to undertake investigations. Now, the leaks are coming out big time here, and they say it's obvious quid pro quo. The testimony is showing it's quid pro quo. The players in it said it was quid pro quo. We have to hear more on this. Like I said, it's pretty new. But Mr. Sondland, they say in this Wall Street Journal story, Mr. Sondland testified that he understood there to be quid pro quo, in which new investigations by Kiev would be a condition of a White House meeting between Mr. Trump and Mr. Zelensky, his lawyer has said, but that's Mr. Sondland was not aware of a separate connection with the nearly $400 million in frozen aid. That is at odds with other witnesses who testified Mr. Sondland told an aide to Mr. Zelensky that the U.S. aid would not be released until Kiev committed to investigating the Burisma group, where Mr. Biden's son Hunter sat on the board. At a May White House meeting, President Trump expressed skepticism that the Ukraine was, quote, serious about reforms and anti-corruption, end quote, and directed those present, including Mr. Sondland, Energy Secretary Rick Perry, and Senator Ron Johnson, to talk to Mr. Giuliani about his concern. Mr. Sondland testified that Mr. Perry, the third of the three amigos, told the Wall Street Journal he then reached out to Mr. Giuliani to address President Trump's concerns about the alleged Ukrainian corruption. Mr. Volker also connected with Mr. Giuliani including introducing him to a senior advisor to the Ukrainian president. It sounds like a couple things. So you have two sets. You have the Volker testimony, and you have the Sondland, and you have what they said they believed it was quid pro quo. But then you have the nuance there that said, at least according to Sondland, said he believes there was quid pro quo, but he wasn't aware of a connection with the $400 million in frozen aid. Of course, that begs a question then, quid pro quo for what? And we don't know that. But this is just new information coming out. We'll process this and be talking about it, I'm sure, for the next 3 or 4 days until the next big bombshell hits Washington. And then there'll be another one and another one. All right, 143, let's talk about fun things. Although it's fun because I think what my friend Roz does here with the Turkey Trot for Hope is you do like when I take, if I want the kids to eat broccoli or something like that, and you put cheese on the broccoli, and that gets them interested in eating the vegetables, even though I get good vegetable eaters, y'all take running and you make it fun by letting us dress up like turkeys. Is that pretty much what we're talking about?
That's correct. We want it to be fun and festive, and you don't have to run, Sean. I tell you this every year. You can walk.
You can get the shirt.
Yeah, and you can stay in bed. You can stay in bed or the kitchen and get the awesome shirt this year. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's really, really cute. It was designed by one of our campers. So it's a special shirt for our 10th annual
10th annual race.
Is
but
it
again,
10th annual?
It is 10th.
Yeah, we got some, and people have heard you talk about this before, maybe hopefully participate in it. First of all, why do we do this? Why do we do the Turkey Trot for Hope?
Thank you for asking. So the Turkey Trot for Hope directly benefits Camp Arapahoe. We are a local organization for kids and teens with cancer. We provide free programming year-round.
And that money stays right here, a camp for local kids, which I love. And this race is kind of a way to, number one, absolve yourself from any possible overeating issues.
Correct.
During Thanksgiving.
Calories, yes. You can burn those calories before you ever even start the day.
So you go out, you kind of give us, when's the race start? I know there's more than...
Yes, the 5K starts at 8 a.m., and it's at Mardi Gras Park this year, a new
location. This is new. So Mardi Gras Park is the start.
Yes, that's the first important thing we need to talk about is our new location, Mardi Gras Park, right in the heart of downtown. Easy access for Baldwin County and Mobile people. Mm-hmm. 5K starts at 8 a.m. The Gobble Wobble starts at 9. It's less than a mile, Sean.
All these years, and I still crack up like I'm 12 every time you say gobble wobble.
Yes.
So the gobble wobble is something that the whole family can do. Everybody
correct.
Can gobble.
Yes. It's a fun run. It's less than a mile. Super easy. Both the gobble wobble and the 5K are pretty flat courses. We're a certified 5K. Mm-hmm. So again, for the 5K, you can also run, walk, stroll, however you want to be.
Sashay.
Yes, you can sashay as long as you're wearing a turkey costume.
Now, let's talk about this when it's not just like a feather or two. There's some people that go all out, Roz.
Yes,
this.
So we have a turkey division. You have to dress combs to talon as a turkey. So speaking from experience, the turkey costumes out there in the world are few and far between. So people have gotten creative. They've made their own turkey costumes.
You're saying eBay's not chock full of turkey costumes?
No, it's just really not. No websites are chock full of them. So we've had some really creative people. Some people come as pilgrims. Mm-hmm. Some people come as a full turkey. Some of them, we had one year a fork and a knife chasing a turkey. So
that's creative.
Super festive. We have photo booths where we have great food donations from some local partners, and it's a quick, easy way to start your day. You feel good about giving back, and you feel good about burning the calories.
Okay, and number one, let's talk about the, like you said, the charity is the key to it, but the fun makes it easier to do. And if we start at 8, we're finished by...
Well, depends on how fast you run.
Let's say I'm a slowpoke.
So,
I mean,
yeah,
5K.
So you're probably done by 8:45 or so, and you
plenty
don't
of time
have
to
stick
get home.
And right, exactly. Even our volunteers are home by 10 a.m. So we keep it very quick because we respect everyone's holiday, even our volunteers. But it's a lot of fun packed in a short amount of time. That's for sure. It's become a family tradition for the area.
The only new the change is we got this tradition, but the change is now Mardi Gras Park.
Mardi Gras Park. Don't forget Mardi Gras Park.
Okay, so somebody wants to get signed up.
Yes,
how do they
you
do it?
Can go to CampRapahope.org and access our online registration from our website. So you can register online all the way up until 4 a.m. on November 27th. Early bird prices are still going until November 14th. So if you want to get online and register today, you're going to save some money. Register before the 14th. You can also register in person at McCoy Outdoor Run and Try or Fleet Feet in Mobile, and then Running Wild in Fairhope.
We talk about Camp Arapahoe so many times, and I guess between us, I mean, familiar. My wife was a counselor there. You know, obviously, we talked about it for years here. Do people, do you ever get the elevator talk with somebody? Do people know? Is it now people have heard of it? Or are there still people who don't know what y'all are doing?
With the help of people like you and other partners in the community, we're getting the word out a little more. But it can always go out even more. So we, by word of mouth, have gotten more campers over the years, and we serve kids from all along the Gulf Coast. So
tell folks that don't know, so these are kids that are dealing with cancer. What are they doing for summer camp? It's just boring stuff, isn't it?
Oh, come on. No. And actually, they don't have to be being treated for cancer right now. We have kids who have had cancer in their life.
Right.
They could be in remission or they could be on treatment. And we do have, our biggest thing is our week-long camp in June where we
they
fish.
Just sit around.
We do arts and crafts. We have a ropes course, horseback.
It's awesome, y'all.
It is truly magical. I cannot put into words how much fun it is. But then we have year-round programming. We have a sibling weekend just for those siblings of a kid with cancer.
You know, I had forgotten about that. You and I talked about that those siblings are in a position where, I mean, so much of the tension, and rightfully so, is on that sibling that's dealing with cancer. That other sibling is not by any design, just by the nature of the things, is
exactly.
left out of some
exactly.
things.
They need resources like camp. The tangible need of these siblings when they run into camp, we do it in September, so we just got done with it, is just, it will bring you to tears just seeing how much they need camp and the attention that they need. They're just a whole separate set of needs that is a direct result of childhood cancer. So we really love serving the siblings. And again, that also gives that whole weekend for the parent and the child with cancer at home.
Yeah.
So we take the siblings for the weekend and the parent and child with cancer get some one-on-one time as well. So
that is,
we have a teen weekend also.
So
we have
y'all
a family
doing,
day.
Yeah, y'all are doing
year-round.
Okay. And we want people to come out and get registered at all the places you talk about and come out for Turkey Trot for Hope on Thanksgiving morning. But if somebody's listening to us and for some reason, although they can get the t-shirt, like you
yes.
said, they can get the t-shirt, and they want to learn more and they want to help Camp Wrap Hope, they want to do this, how do they do this?
Yes, just go straight to our website, campwraphope.org. Our emails are on the website. We'd love for you to email us. We do have an online form to volunteer, so if you just are interested in any volunteer opportunities that come up throughout the year, please fill out that form. We always need donations. We are not affiliated with any funding organizations. That's why Turkey Trot for Hope is our biggest fundraiser of the year, and so that's why supporting Turkey Trot is really important, but there are plenty of opportunities year-round as well.
Okay,
so
if you
just go to our website, camprapahope.org.
And we'll keep reminding y'all as well, because I'm a big, big fan of what these folks do at Camp Arapahoe. It's real special. That's real local. Rock,
thank
as
you,
always,
Sean.
Thank you. And I'll be reminding y'all as we get the next couple days here to get signed up and start working on a turkey costume. I would say, even though it could be cold, I would think a lot of mesh with your turkey costume, or mesh
exactly.
turkey costume. All right, coming right back, we'll check the news, and then back to you. Phone number, text line is open for you as we wrap it up here on a Tuesday, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 155 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Yeah, thank you. Folks are talking about messaging me about Camp Arapahoe. Great deal. Great deal. I got to see it firsthand when the missus was a counselor up there back in our younger days. Really special place for real special kids right here in our area. Help raise money for it always. You can keep your money at home helping people. Oh, good. Who is that? Unnamed texter. But at least I feel somebody understands. I made a Schultz reference, a Hogan's Heroes Schultz reference, and they got it. Thank you. Whoever you are, makes me feel better. Often I'll say that, and I think, nobody has any idea what I'm talking about. But at least there's somebody else out there that does, so thank you. All right, a couple things, just odds and ends, and some stories we'll visit later on in the week, like tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Secretary of State John Merrill has said he doesn't think, I wonder if he's doing this as a taunt or something, he doesn't think that Jeff Sessions will get in to this race. He was on, whose show was he on? He was on radio yesterday. He said, not one time did Sessions mention to me that he might be interested in coming back and retaining his old Senate seat. So that's John Merrill's quote there. He doesn't think he's coming in. We'll find out by Friday at 5 if he's, we'll know for sure Friday at 5 if he's in, if he's going to get qualified or not. Hey, and while we're talking about the election cycle that we are in, quick reminder, if you didn't hear me talking about it this morning, we are hosting the AL1 Republican primary debate on the 21st of this month, Thursday, along with our news partners at WKRG. We're doing that debate in Chickasaw at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. We just did a walkthrough there yesterday, and we'll be back probably working on this for the next few weeks. But we're putting the debate on from 6 until 8. Okay, so starting, it's a Thursday night, which is, you plan anything in Mobile, Thursday night's the night you do it. We're doing this debate from 6 to 8, Thursday night, the 21st, and plenty of parking there. If you get off at the West Lee Street exit for Chickasaw, And it's about a minute and a half when you get off there. You just take your first right on Grant Street, and you'll go right there to the J.C. Davis Auditorium. We will have all five candidates that have qualified for AL1, the seat being vacated by Congressman Byrne. All five Republican primary candidates will be there at this debate. And we'll talk to them and talk about them in the weeks to come before the debate. But you'll have a chance to be there in person to watch that debate. Also, it'll be carried from 6 to 8 right here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll have all the debate here on the station, and our news partners with WKRG are going to carry it on television, which is radio with pictures. I still don't think it's going to catch on, Dalton, but they're going to do that as well. Moderating Peter Albrecht from News 5 and myself are going to moderate this debate. Once again, I'd love to see y'all out there. It's going to be a great deal because, I mean, all the candidates are there. You'll be able to hear them answer the questions you're interested in, and it will be the first televised and broadcast AL1 debate of the whole season. And now that everybody's qualified, it's real, and we're doing that once again Thursday the 21st, Chickasaw, J.C. Davis Auditorium. Put a note, a reminder in your phone to be there. And if you can't be there for some reason, you'll be able to listen to it right here at FM Talk 106.5 or check it out with WKRG as well. So we'll remind you many, many times, but now you're on the advanced list here. Thursday the 21st, 6 to 8 p.m., Chickasaw AL1 Republican primary debate. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I'll talk to y'all in the morning.